This morning brought to you by Tulsa Bone and Joint of Bartlesville and Jane Phillips Medical Center, working together to keep you on the move. Also by First Baptist Church and Tallgrass Motors. We'll talk things over with Patty Beavers from Family Crisis and Counseling Center coming up in just a moment.
Complete orthopedic care with a collaborative approach. Tulsa Bone and Joint and Jane Phillips Medical Center have teamed up to deliver a proactive approach for the prevention, care, and treatment of all bone and joint injuries. Depend on our compassionate surgeons and medical staff for all your family's orthopedic needs. Call today for your appointment, 918-214-8232. Tulsa Bone and Joint of Bartlesville and Jane Phillips Medical Center, working together to keep you on the move.
And as promised, Patty Beavers is in from Family Crisis and Counseling Center. And first of all, welcome back in here. Seems like it's been a while since we've talked together.
Absolutely. If you miss a month, it's like an eternity. But I'm really grateful to be here, and thank you very much for having me.
Well, that's it. I want to kind of lead into some information that people may need to know about a new law that just took effect on Sunday. And I'm going to ask this not because I think I've ever done it that I recall, but just we all say things like, you know, just have you really wanted just to grab out and choke somebody? You know,
yeah.
it is a new law.
It is a new law because a lot of times in domestic violence assaults, choking and strangulation does take place, but whether it's temporary or long-term damage, a lot of times you're not going to remember because, you know, you were choked and you can lose consciousness, mm-hmm. or you're going to lose consciousness, and some of the side effects is you don't remember. You're kind of piecemealing things back together.
Sure. You know, I having been spent quite a few years on a competitive judo mat, and choke moves are part of, it's a submission technique to the point that hopefully the person submits before they go unconscious. But sport versus real life, we're talking
right.
about two different things. But it can be very effective in putting person unconscious, you know, within seconds.
Absolutely, it's how fast you have your hands on their neck, and whether you're working on these arteries on the side or the trachea, mm-hmm. You can gain consciousness back within 10 seconds. You know, once they let loose, mm-hmm. If they let loose, you mm-hmm. know. Soon enough, and that's the whole thing. It's just mere seconds between death and them letting go.
Sure, exactly. And that's the seconds when in a sport technique with a referee, et cetera,
right.
Obviously, you know, if once a person is unconscious, match is over, as opposed to real life where somebody would continue.
You know, the sad thing about this is a lot of times when clients come in and they have been choked, they discount that. That's mm. just part of the overall picture. But what we found, and now there's a new statute, again, that was passed where it became effective for us to have these forms in our files on September the 11th, is we're having to remind people, has this ever happened? You know, have you noticed the changes in your voice or difficulty speaking or difficulty swallowing or breathing, nausea, vomiting, sore throat, dizziness? You know, there's all these things that we're going through with them now, because if someone chokes you and where the damage, more damage is done is when you're fighting, because mm-hmm. you're in fear, you know, a tremendous amount of fear that you're fixing to die,
mm-hmm.
and that fear, you know, you're moving around trying to get away from them. That's a lot of times where this permanent damage is, because they've still got a hold on your neck and you're fighting them, and so it's make people aware this is not normal, and there's under things that you're not going to see.
Well, and depending on how the person is applying pressure, many people by reflex action will turn into it and complicate things, as opposed to
right.
if you just turned the other way,
right.
you know,
yeah.
but we don't always realize that.
No, you don't, because who wouldn't be sitting there trying to
yeah.
get away? That's just, you know, the human reaction to it all. But we have, you know, we have clients that come in that, you know, they're talking real raspy, and I'm, is that their real voice or not? But
yeah.
then, now that we have these questions, additional things that we're supposed to go over with them, whether it's, you know, the strangulation or choking,
mm-hmm.
or if it's, you know, head injuries, is to make them aware of these symptoms that you've probably happened to you, but, you know, just subconsciously you're not really thinking about that, because if they can repair the damage that's done now that mm-hmm. can keep you from having strokes and other problems later on.
Absolutely. And of course, are we talking about, like you said, applying pressure to the trachea and actually cutting off wind, or is it more depriving the blood supply to the brain? So there's
two
different...
Well, that's where it crosses over. And, you know, now in 38 states, it's a felony now, because a lot of the charges that can be brought up are not felonies. You know, they're like misdemeanors. And mm-hmm. sometimes, I hate to say this, I kind of gather from other people sharing with me, like, you know, it's just a misdemeanor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but statistics show that people that do choke, use a strangulation and choking as a method of control
mm-hmm.
With the clients, you know, they end up murdering people.
Very easily can, yeah. And that obviously turns into a felony real quickly. But this is something that because of questions you are now required to ask, and I'm sure if the person were to end up at an emergency room after an incident, they would be required to ask those same questions.
Oh, yes, absolutely, because that's it's just on the forefront now. Yeah, you know, mm-hmm. that's the newest thing. We have Lori Moynihan from Ray of Hope, and when Josh Petrosky was here as a detective, and so I'm going to assume his the new replacement for him will do some of this. You know, they went to this extensive training.
Mm-hmm.
Stacy, the other protective order advocate where we work, she went to a day training about this, and it's to make people realize that our clients discount the choking. They don't really understand all the repercussions that go along with it, and the damage that that can be caused.
Mm-hmm. And I think we're going to talk about some of that, and particularly the legal complications of something that a person likely will do out of anger or out of a reason to control somebody. And we will continue when we talk with Patty in just a moment on K1.
Bartlesville First Baptist Church is focused on the life-changing gospel of Jesus Christ. As we learn the God's Word, love God's people, and live God's mission, this vision will continue to thrive until He comes. We are committed to vibrant worship, relevant Bible teaching, genuine community, and the urgent spreading of this gospel. We are resolved. We will not be silent. Come worship with us at First Baptist Church, 405 South Cherokee in Bartlesville. Services are 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. each Sunday.
Is it time to start thinking about a new car? But the thought of dealing with the large dealerships is just too intimidating, too confusing? There is an easier way. Tallgrass Motors. Tallgrass Motors doesn't play all the confusing games the large dealerships play. Tallgrass Motors has continually been voted Bartlesville's best used car dealer year after year. Go by Tallgrass Motors today and enjoy looking at over 60 used cars, trucks, and SUVs, all priced to save you money. Tallgrass Motors, Highway 75 North in Bartlesville.
Hey, I'm 1400, and we continue on a community connection talking with Patty Beavers, and particularly strangulation in a domestic violence situation. It's just part of an entire pattern of behavior, I guess, is the best way to talk about it.
Yeah, you're absolutely correct. It is... It says that 50% of domestic violence victims that are strangled
mm-hmm.
at some point in the course of the relationship, whether it's one or repeatedly that goes on over the years, you know, the majority of the people they're strangling are men.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I guess in most instances, men are stronger than women, or that's just statistics of how the violence...
I think that's a safe statement. Yeah.
How the violence takes place. But they're talking about the highest risk of dying after you've been strangled
mm-hmm.
Is the first 24 to 48 hours. And you can suffer strokes, blood clots, aspiration. And these things are what cause the brain injuries.
Mm-hmm.
Then in return, you have problems, you know, with clarity of thought, you know, being able to carry through on task, a lot of short-term memory problems. You know, it's really real eye-opening.
Oh, I'm sure.
When you start going through all of this, so.
And I think when you started looking at many of these items, when you were going through your testing, and they started running down that list of items that can happen, I don't know that that's an exhaustive list, but I'm saying it's all kinds of things that 2, 3, 5, 10, 15 or more years down the road, some of these symptoms show up.
And that's exactly right. today the damage that was done here, you know, it may heal itself enough, because again, as a victim, the tendency is to discount it, you know, just because it's just a picture of the whole, you know, the whole assault type control that the perpetrators are using against abusers. They don't realize the seriousness of, or, well, he choked me. Well, really, it gets to a point where, you know, they're strangling you.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, that's when they get to that type of angry control, you know, there's a really huge chance that it's going to turn into a murder situation.
Okay, now let's say someone has had this happen to them at some point in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything under this new law that they can, you know, now it's, you can't go back and report something that happened 5 years ago,
right?
Well, in general,
right?
But then, you know, what actions should they be aware of now?
Well, they need to let their family doctor, if they have a family doctor, be aware of it. Your CAT scans and your MRIs and stuff, they're going to show damage that's been done
mm-hmm.
that visibly we're not going to know. You know, the bruises heal. Maybe your voice gets better. But if they are suffering from any of the symptoms that we have here to go over with them when they come in for a protective order, then they still need to be checked out, because there's still a chance that these things can, you know, the repair can be done to your arteries and so forth, and you not have strokes and stuff later in life, 10 or 15 years later.
Sure. And of course, many physicians, just in the process of checking your heart health, a check at the carotid artery for cholesterol may mm-hmm. show mm-hmm. some other damage.
Right. Absolutely. Again, think about it. If I have my hands around your neck, you know, and you're fighting, you know, and the abuser's wanting you to pass out, you know, yeah, it just makes it worse. So more damage is done.
But some of those, at least a doctor might have a chance, depending on the what that exam they're doing.
And I think this is the purpose of this new statute,
mm-hmm.
To require them to, if, you know, to ask about it. You know, in the protective order process, there was questions that they, you know, on an assessment that they could say they choked, but there was never time, you know, any significant amount of time short of them bringing it up that we have spent in the past on this situation. Now, you know, because it's been recognized as, you know, a national issue and it's on the forefront, so we're required to go over these things with them to make them aware that, you know, maybe it didn't happen this time, maybe it's happened another time,
mm-hmm.
but if you have these symptoms, you need to go be checked out.
Will this new legislation that, again, took effect and became law on Sunday now help you when you go before a judge to show a pattern of behavior and get an order of protection that maybe you might not have gotten in the past?
Well, I'm going to say
and
yes
and no.
You
may not have enough experience to know yet.
Yeah, well, but no, where I'm going to go with that is we only time we go before the judge is to assist someone with their paperwork. So it counts on the judge being informed, which our judge, Judge Vaclaw, is informed.
Mm-hmm.
They go to this type of training, and again, as I mentioned, this forensic nurse, Lori Moynihan, they have been, you know, putting these trainings on for law enforcement and advocates.
Mm-hmm.
So it's making them aware that how we have it worded, you know, so my part in this is when they talk about, yes, they were choked or strangled, is to go over this and know what they, you know, put on their paperwork to make sure then that they bring that up in front of the judge, that's in their statement, or that they tell him, you know, in person about this. Mm-hmm. So he's the one then that he or she, if it was a female
right.
judge, or
yeah.
In the district attorney's office. The district attorney's office has also sent people to this training. So I know that Sue Nye has been also. So it helps everyone do their job.
Sure. And that's something that, like you said, particularly our local legal staff from the nursing crew all the way through to the judges and everybody in between are up to date on it. And so there are several steps in place, like what you do, that these questions will be asked.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It was just before you might have hit and missed if the client didn't bring it up, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And now, you know, it's nationally recognized that it is a big issue. You know, 50% of it, of the assaults, you know, do include choking and strangulation. So we're bringing that to the forefront because there's permanent damage done. And so then instead of it being a misdemeanor and it becomes a felony, you know, they can make sure this person, you know, is removed from that situation, get, you know, court-ordered help, you know, and stuff like that.
Okay, so it sounds like the legislators on a bill that was passed several months ago were taking steps down the right path and making sure that these steps are now being asked.
And they did, you know, and our job for a protective order, we're screening. Mm-hmm. We're asking questions, you know, has this, you know, yes or no. And then that's the eye-opener for us to know how much time to spend with them on the particular subject.
On the offender, probably their behavior is not that much different than what we have seen in past years, but now you're covering it more from the standpoint
they probably did it in the past anyway.
Right.
You know, but we didn't know the importance of asking about it and then, you know, encouraging them, the victim, to go get checked out.
Okay. Maybe we got to some folks that are listening this morning for the first time that really didn't know too much about it. I know you've got a website that will provide some information for family members, for friends, for acquaintances.
Just to know a little bit more about it.
Yeah. What's that website? Where can people go?
All right, www.strangulationtraininginstitute.com.
Well, that's kind of long. Let's get one more time.
We got more.
Okay.
/ impact of strangulation, crimes, and important facts. You know, if you just even go to strangulationtraininginstitute.com and look for the impact of this, then it will allow you to become a little bit better informed.
Okay. If you're there, a phone call away, 24/7, 365. If something is going on and the individual, again, stereotype, we say it's a woman, but it can be anybody,
right,
says, you know, I need to get out of here and I need to get out of here right now.
That's absolutely correct. We have our safe shelter. Our phones roll over to this safe shelter. The phone is answered, like you said, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The office staff rotate doing what we call backup, and so then the shelter staff, you know, calls us then when they have a critical call that's, you know, that needs to be addressed, whether it's someone needing to come into our shelter or if people are calling with this type of, you know, type of questions and so forth. So there's always someone there to help.
And this topic probably will be coming up in some of the school-based training that we'll be doing in and around
the area. Because a lot of kids do that for fun. Or not just kids. A lot of people think it's that it's fun, you know, so yes.
Well, yeah, I mean, it is documented that just before you lose consciousness, there is a slight euphoria that you kind of, yeah, but that's not a good thing.
No, so. Not a good high.
If people have questions simply on how they can find out more, or even I know you still need volunteers for this and that, how can somebody get a hold of you guys?
If they would call 918-336-1188, and they can tell Sally what they need, and she'll pass the call on to myself or the other advocate, or if it needs to go to, you know, someone else there in the office, we'll, you know, if we're with clients, then we'll just call back as soon as, you know, we're free and help answer their questions.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Patty. Appreciate it. And some interesting information on a law that, again, just took effect this week. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
Patty Beaver is with us this morning on AM 1400, 93.3 FM, K1 News. On the way next from the Oklahoma News Network, 71 degrees, 5 minutes before 9 o'clock at K1.
ONN News.